The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Y'all already know, start turning the volume down. It is Kathy Barnett sitting in for our girlfriend, Dawn Stensland, on The Dawn Stensland Show. You're listening to the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia. I love saying this, but we also cover most of the mid-Atlantic states as well. So what's up, New Jersey? Hey, Delaware. What y'all doing over there, Maryland? Listen, we have another full day of some great people calling in. You guys, I'm sure you have seen my good friend, Batya Unger Sargon. She's going to be calling in the 11 o'clock hour, followed by my other really sweet friend. I adore her, Chloe Cole. You guys know her. She's been having meetings with Disney. She's been testifying before Congress. The girl has been bold trying to get people to realize the dangers of all of this transgender dysphoria and foolishness. But we're also going to be talking to a new friend, Allie Hopper, a new friend to me, but not to you guys, because I know you've been listening. I believe she's been on here with Dawn before. So we have a full day of great people calling in. But, you know, I kind of wanted to kind of talk about some things that kind of popped into my Twitter feed last night. Again, I have really tried to spend as little time as possible on X.
Good idea there.
I mean, if you want to keep your sanity and your joy and your peace, I mean, if you are feeling some kind of way about life, your place in the world, I'm telling you, get off of Instagram. Get off. Stop spending so much time on Twitter. Facebook may be okay. It's still a little bit family oriented, but for the most part, I try to keep my head in my own life. I was telling someone, it takes all my energy just to live my life. So if I'm trying to live my life, your life, trying to see what you're doing and keeping up with you, I just don't have the time for that kind of stuff, right? It literally takes all of my energy from the moment I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to the moment I lay my head down, which is unfortunately quite late. I am running all day. And so anyway, but because of the business I'm in, I have to poke my head out there into Twitterdom sometimes. And yesterday, the first thing I saw, I'm sure you guys have probably seen this. I don't know if you guys have been talking about it. Dan, let me know if anyone's been talking about this. But did you see the body cam footage? Did I send that link to you? You want to play that in a moment, but here's a police body cam footage of the store, the grocery store chain, which is headquartered up there in Michigan. Y'all know Michigan has fallen for the most part, but Michigan, this store headquartered up there called Meijer's, and when I lived in, I don't think I've seen a Meijer's here. Pennsylvania,
no.
Right. But when we lived in Chicago, very close to Michigan, they were there. They're all over the place.
It was like the better Walmart.
You know what? It reminds me of Kroger.
Okay.
Is Kroger here? Giant?
Like an Acme. Yeah, Giant Acme.
Yeah, Giant.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. It's like a Giant. So, you know, again, I've lived in Texas, so you have Kroger's. I've lived in Chicago, so you have Meijer's. I've lived... and now I'm here in Pennsylvania, so we have Giant. So this is like a Giant for all of us here on the East Coast. And apparently there's this 16-year-old disabled young boy by the name of James when you're watching this, you can clearly see James, you know, is suffering from some kind of disability, but looks like a sweet young boy, and they had the police come in, humiliate him, drag him out in handcuffs because they said over 3 months of time he has stolen what accounted to $110. Yeah, that's right. Over 3 months, $110. That's not even $50 a month over 3 months. And they humiliated this young man, put him in cuffs, dragged him off to jail, And they and the adults in that room were standing there because the body cam footage is kind of doing a sweep of the room. Listen to this. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can actually probably see it.
Hello. Hey. So we have James here.
Who's James?
Right here.
Okay.
He works in our deli department.
Okay.
And we found out that he's just been taking like orders of chicken and fruit cups and stuff like that off the floor
for 110?
Yep.
All right. James, do you have anything on you need to be aware of?
Not
don't reach for it if you do.
Okay, so I have a Sharpie and a box cutter in this pocket. All I have in this pocket is my phone and my earbuds, and then in my back pocket I have my wallet.
Right. Go ahead and stand up for me.
Okay.
All right, just go ahead and put your hand on the wall for me. I'm just going to take everything out. We'll get it with you.
Put your hands on the wall. So now they're patting him down.
All this stuff yours? Like the box cutter, that's not Meyer property or anything?
That's me, Meyer property.
Is that probably from out of Meyer?
Yeah, that is.
So then I can stay here with them.
Yeah.
All right. Anything in your shoes or anything like that?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and pause. I think you get the picture. You can go out there to Twitter. It was all over the place last night. So there's so many footage. I don't know. I'm watching it right now and I'm a little weepy. This is so sad. This is so sad. These are the same people that are constantly talking about tolerance, constantly licking their lips, talking about the children, the children. Remember Nancy Pelosi? It's all about the children as they're constantly harming and humiliating and just no grace, no kindness. Is this really America? Instead of a write-up, instead of an intervention, like, James, come here, young man. What's going on? Are you okay? Are you eating? Are you well? Is there anything we should know? No, they follow him over the course of 3 months, building up a case. And what do they have? $110. And the guy in the room, the manager, his arms all crossed, like, yeah, we got him now. Right. This isn't an organized crime, i.e. the Democrat Party. This isn't a theft on a grand scale. It's a teenage boy eating at work. And their answer to that is humiliation, handcuffs.
Put your palms together.
I don't know. I just feel some kind of way about it. I see we have Ed. Okay, we have to go to break.
We can take Ed before break. We have time for him.
Okay, awesome. Ed. Hey, Ed. What's up?
Kathy Barnett, your opinion is sound, you're profound, and I'm so glad you're around.
Thank you, Ed. Our morning rap. Okay, guys, I'll see y'all on the other side.
What the Biden administration did with respect to child trafficking is one of the great crimes in human history. Over 500,000 children were illegally trafficked into the country under the previous administration. When we've gone and looked for these children, Martha, the addresses that the U.S. government provided, in other words, with the records that the government kept under Joe Biden, are all fake. Nobody ever checked if the addresses were real. Nobody ever checked if the sponsors were real. Nobody ever checked if they were really even relatives or parents or relations or safe. We recently recovered a young illegal alien, for example, who had been raped repeatedly. Oh. By the adult male that the Biden administration handed to her. She was under constant video surveillance and was coached exactly what to say if an officer ever knocked on her door so that she would never be rescued. We have example after example. We go to homes, 13, 14, 15-year-old children who are raped on a daily basis because the Biden administration, because the Democrat Party, chose to traffic them into this country.
My God, who is crying for these children? Who is crying for these kids? Whose heart is broken for these babies? You got me on that, Dan.
I'm so sorry, but
you got me on that.
No, it's
who's crying for our babies, who's crying for our children in this country. Everywhere you look, they are trying to steal the innocence of our children. Who's crying for them? Who's up late at night pacing the floor for them? These are the questions we should be asking. This is the reason why we must not go to sleep on this human trafficking that we have allowed to occur over the past 4 years. I mean, human trafficking is not new. But over the past 4 years under the Biden administration, it was done blatantly in your face. And if you question it, shut up, sit down, be quiet. You are radical. You are xenophobe. You are phobic of some sort. Who's crying for our babies? To help us get our mind around what is happening and what happened in our country under the Biden administration, what is happening today under the Trump administration. I want to welcome in my guest. She's not new to you guys, Allie Hopper. Hello, Allie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Kathy?
I am bawling. My heart is broken. My heart is broken. And I remember, we all remember Trump and others asking, where are the missing children that came into this country? IDs were thrown. I heard you on Martha McCallum talking about it. And you talked about when you and your partner went to the border, you saw IDs littered on the other side of the American border because people want new identities. You talked about little girls being raped. Who's crying for these children? Help us understand. Guys, I'm talking to Allie Hopper. She is the nationally recognized expert in human trafficking and the president of Guard Against Trafficking. And she has testified before Congress. Allie, help us put our mind around this.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking the right questions. We need to be asking these questions. And it's a horrifying reality, but the moment we stop talking about it, the moment we stop asking these questions, I mean, we're these children's only hope. We need to keep their voices alive. We need to be a voice for the voiceless. And we need to keep advocating for these children, because if we don't, who will?
If we don't, who will? Over the past 4 years under the Biden administration, I mean, I recall people asking, you know, kind of like a punctuation at the end of a sentence, kind of like a got you meme, where are the missing children? But how did we fall as a nation? I guess you can ask that question about how did we, you know, allow our kids to chemically castrate themselves and cut off healthy body parts? I guess we can ask that same question of the callous that has to kind of lay over our heart for our whole nation to just turn a blind eye.
Yeah, I think that reflection is very important when we assess the past administration. Reflection is key, because we need to understand what happened, how it happened, why it was allowed to happen, and why we aren't getting accountability right now. And this administration, Trump, he is working so hard to get those questions answered, to get accountability and to find these children. But we need to really understand where we were, put ourselves back to that time frame, and understand where the American public was. We were being overrun at the border. Our borders were wide open. We were facing the fallout from COVID. We were facing economic disarray. Our families were struggling to put food on the table. Rates were skyrocketing. Food was becoming unaffordable. And so really the American public focused on survival and being able to provide for their families, which allowed for this administration to continue operations as normal until this administration took over, looked under the hood, and really forced the American public to see what had happened over those last 4 years with these children.
Absolutely. And we can cry, and I am crying. My heart is saddened right now. But what would you say if you had to give us, I'm going to get into the questions in a minute, but that I had prepared for you. But if we you know, and again, yes, we need to reflect. We need to, you know, cry for these children. But what else can we do right now in this moment?
That's a great question. So reflecting requires becoming aware that there's an issue. So there's still a group, a segment of people that refuse to acknowledge that this even happened. You can place reports, you can place testimony, you can place whistleblower statements, videos, photographic evidence in front of certain people, and still there is that unwillingness to recognize that this even happened. I don't know if it's because it's so horrible that the mind tries to shield people from this horrific reality, but A, we need to acknowledge that it happened, and B, what do we do about it? This administration is working so hard to find these children, but we really need to be communicating with our local law enforcement, our lawmakers at the local level, that they and encouraging them to work with this administration in finding these children, because it's going to take an entire team effort, and we can't just look to the top and expect them to fix all the problems.
Yeah.
We have to get up. We have to get involved. We have to encourage our local law enforcement and our local agencies and our state agencies to work with this administration and share some of the responsibility and effort to find these children. And then we also need to be a relentless force requesting, or not even requesting, demanding accountability. So we're past the point of requesting. We are at the point where we demand, we deserve accountability, we deserve oversight, we deserve answers. And these were our taxpayer dollars that did this. So we can be horrified at what happened, but at the end of the day, we paid for it. Mm. Those are our hard-earned dollars that went into committing these horrific atrocities and committed to and contributed to trafficking of hundreds of thousands of children.
You know, I was talking to Dan, the producer, before we walked in, and I was saying to him, these Democrats, and you know, and I really hate being partisan, because I know Republicans, you know, we're not all the same over here on our side. Lord knows we're not perfect, but we're not Democrats right now. And I really hate being partisan, but it really does come down. I mean, like the reality, I live in the world of reality. And although I would love to be able to lock arms and sing Kumbaya and, you know, and try to comb through differences, there are some hard demarcations staring us in the face. And one of those happens to be political affiliations. And I don't believe all Democrats are this way, but those who are leading the party and the mouthpiece of the party, you know, they are, as a whole, unrepentant of a variety of things. For example, you know, we're looking at right now, you know, back then, 4 years ago, you know, they were telling us, you know, pulling on our heartstrings as Americans, saying these people just want a better life. Let them come in. You're a xenophobe if you don't. You just want, I mean, I'm black, but they were like, you know, I mean, like they came close to saying I was a white nationalist, right? But they didn't. They would typically drop the word white nationalist to try to malign me. But the feeling was the same, that they were trying to shame me for saying we need to have a secure border. This isn't right. We don't know who's coming in. We don't know their motivations. That was 4 years ago. Today, the virtue signaling of the Democrat Party is, you know, they're flying to El Salvador. They're standing outside of ICE detention centers. We just want to check. We love them, alligator, Alcatraz. Like, this is inhumane. You know, these are humans. Nobody's illegal. Stop being phobic. Stop being, you know, all of these different things. They're trying to, you know, AOC did a Zoom conference where she was saying, you know, you are human illegals. And these are the ways you can circumvent ICE, go into hiding. Let's create an alert system so you know. I mean, so they're unrepentant as a whole. They have not learned the lessons. you talk to them, as you said, about these 500,000 children being trafficked and raped and murdered and all just passed around from man to man, woman to woman at this point, little boys, little girls, all the same, and they're unrepentant. And what my fear is that when this is all, when this is all over, when Trump is no longer president, they're biding their time from the cartels to the Democrat Party and the NGOs. And once Trump is no longer in office, they will just go right back into where they left off because they're unrepentant.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So the inconsistency, and it isn't a partisan issue. It should be an issue that unites everybody because it affects all children, right? So we're not looking at the political affiliation of the child or even the family that comes across. We should be united in this issue and disavow any actions that harm children. But when you see certain representatives, certain lawmakers, and they're of one political persuasion consistently advocating for the criminals, the cartel members, the gang members, but are silent when you're talking about the victims, the Laken Rileys, the Rachel Morans. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them that have fallen victim to the crimes committed by illegals that it's just a glaring echo of the inconsistent nature of their concern. So again, when you have these lawmakers advocating for the Abrego Garcias and going down to check on the well-being of a criminal, but didn't dare check on the well-being of some of these unaccompanied children, it just shows a very inconsistent, almost erring, on the side of hypocritical, that the concern only extends to one party, and it's not the individuals that are innocent, it's the criminals that have committed these crimes. And when you look at the hearing from July 16th, I would encourage anyone that hasn't listened to the hearing, I would go back. That was an opportunity to show unity, not just a left versus right issue, but to show unity and a unified concern over these children. That hearing was about these missing children. And when a three-hour hearing goes into 7 hours because one side stonewalls, makes motion after motion to deflect from the conversation, from the intent of the hearing, to bring in things like Epstein, where that was not the subject of this hearing. The subject of the hearing was on the children. Right. And you had an opportunity as a lawmaker, as a representative, to show that you care about these children and to remain focused on the issue and the subject of the hearing. But all you do is you distract and you stonewall. That showed the American people that even when given an opportunity to be a voice for these children, that they did not. They were trying to deflect. They were trying to distract. There were no meaningful questions about the well-being or welfare of these children, how to recover them in a meaningful way, how to help with these efforts. And so it was really heartbreaking to see because time after time, there are so many opportunities, missed opportunities, for these parties to come together for the one thing that you would think that would unite all of us, and that's our children. And even then, even when you're focusing on children, the most innocent beings on earth, that fails to unite us. And that's what's heartbreaking about all of this. But I want to just make it very clear that we as the people see these actions, and it's our responsibility to take that into account when we reelect these people, when we decide that they're going to be our voice. Is that the kind of voice we want to represent us? The people that cannot and refuse to focus on missing children? Or do we want the stonewalling and distracting? Is that the kind of representative that we want that represents us? And so we need to remind ourselves and remember this when we go and we actually vote, that the platitudes and the promises that are given during campaigning are just that. But what are the actions that we see from our representatives that speak volumes above their platitudes? And so I just encourage the American people to remain steadfast. It is a heavy topic. There are many children still missing, but we are their only hope. And so we need to just remain steadfast in our resolve, in our dedication, and focus on oversight, accountability, and answers. And so we need to do what we can at the local and state level to support the federal level in their efforts to find these kids.
Yeah. Allie, are you able to hang on and come back after the break?
Yep.
Awesome. Hey, listen, when we get back, I wanna pivot a little bit, because I'm sure you can look at what's happening at the border and these vulnerable children, and I'm sure you have a message on signs of vulnerability of our own kids, of my kid, of others' kids. And so I'm gonna ask you that question when we get back on the other side of this, to help us, you know, make sure that our kids are not trafficked as well, because trafficking doesn't just happen to those kids, but they are happening among our own kids as well. So, Allie, stay there. If you want to call in, the number is 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I'm Kathy Barnett, sitting in for Dawn Stensland.
Taxpayer dollars fueled a system hijacked by criminal networks. No bid, billion-dollar contracts were awarded with little oversight, while influx facilities became transportation hubs. A striking example is Endeavor's. Their IRS filings show revenue soaring from $65 million in 2019 to $1.18 billion in 2022, driven almost entirely by federal contracts. During this time, CEO John Allman's salary rose from $292,000 to $730,000. With six-figure executive surge bonuses added. Endeavors ended 2022 with a $112 million surplus. Andrew Lorenzen Strait, a former Biden transition.
On top of that, Kathy, sorry to come in, but 65,000 calls to hotlines by these NGOs just left completely unanswered. It's just, it's devastating what happened in that last administration, what you and Allie were talking about there.
Yeah. Hey, Allie. I'm back with Allie, everyone. You're listening to Kathy Barnett. I'm sitting in for our friend, your friend, Dawn Stensland on the Dawn Stensland Show. And I have on the phone right now, Allie Hopper. She is nationally recognized expert in human trafficking and the president of Guard Against Trafficking, and has testified before Congress. And what you heard as we were coming back from break is a little bit of your testimony, Allie, when you were there before the House. And my question to you, as I was listening to that, and I heard you did a 2-part series with Martha McCallum of Fox News on just all of this, kind of putting our hands around, our mind around human trafficking and its many forms. And as I was listening to that and listening to your testimony, I was thinking to myself, and I know it's kind of unfair, and I know it's difficult for us to really know the true intent of another person's heart. However, I'm going to ask the question anyway, because it's a question we all ask. Why? Why did they allow this to be done? Clearly, these things are wrong. Is it a situation of them? I mean, was this done intentionally? Or is it just a reflection of their incompetence, or both? You've looked at this in a way that most of us will never look at it. What are your, when you walk away from this and ask yourself, why did they allow these things to happen? What are your thoughts?
That's a very good question. So it's hard to understand how this is allowed to happen, and truly understand it from being in a perspective of, oh, we're just trying to help these people. There's many ways to help people and do it in a meaningful and safe way. But when you look at the opportunities that were missed and the accountability that was not had, it's really hard to think that there's anything other than a nefarious intent, because it was just sheer incompetence, sheer negligence. And it happened on so many different levels in so many different agencies throughout a course of time. And with so many people voicing their concerns, how were those concerns able to be ignored for so long if you claim that it was just to help these people, just to help these children, but you were putting them in harm's way? And so we really need to ask ourselves these questions and really understand that I think it just goes beyond negligence. It goes beyond incompetence, because there were whistleblowers that came forward that voiced their concerns. There was a person that had visited a household that voiced concerns over the sponsor that was to take in one of these children. And I mentioned it in my hearing. When this individual voiced their concerns, they were dismissed. The concerns were that the sponsor was adorned in MS-13 tattoos, that there were numerous individuals in that household that appeared to be part of a gang. And when those concerns were dismissed, and that child was placed in that household and was harmed. And that's where you can't claim incompetence. You can't claim that you didn't know. Because when the evidence is put in front of you and you fail to investigate and you fail to address those concerns and you move forward anyways and a child is harmed, that is where it moves beyond incompetence and negligence, but complicitness. Absolutely. And we have a responsibility to look at the facts for what they are. When you establish a hotline, like I mentioned in the hearing, you establish a hotline for these children, community members to call in if they have a concern. And 65,000 calls go unanswered from August of 2023 to January of 2025. That is, again, beyond negligence. And it's just, it's horrible to think that those calls went unanswered, and so many children that were even able to make those calls, their concerns were unanswered, their fears, their circumstances were ignored, and children were harmed in the process.
I know you have to get ready to go. I just have two quick questions. I'm going to combine them in one and just let you speak on it. Now let's turn the spotlight to our own individual homes over here. Can you give us some signs of vulnerability that when we see these signs as parents, we should know whether it's grooming is taking place or our kids are vulnerable? And then lastly, guardrails. What are some concrete things we as parents should do this week?
Those, again, very insightful questions and very helpful for the American public to hear. As you said, this is an issue that goes beyond the open borders. It goes beyond the children that were unaccounted for in the system. There are many children, U.S. citizens, that are harmed and affected by human trafficking. And the signs are very challenging to spot if you don't know what to look for. So my first point that I would mention is to become aware of what grooming looks like. We use it in terms of, oh, I'm going to go get my dog groomed, or I'm being groomed for a position in a corporation, but really understanding what sexual grooming is of our children and understanding healthy boundaries, understanding what healthy communication is and where it starts to cross into unhealthy communication, harmful communication, and then explicit communication and conduct. And having those conversations with our children, having them within your households to start to know what the signs look like and to not be afraid to voice those concerns with your local law enforcement and with your children. One of the perfect examples of opportunities that bad actors and predators use is on the internet. And we've seen this week and last week a focus and a shift to focus on Roblox. And that's just one app. That's just one game of many that is used to groom and gain access to our children. And that's the white van at the end of the street, but it's in our living room. So when you hand your children a phone with unfettered, unvetted access to the internet, you are giving your child an open door and access for these bad actors to access your child. And so realizing that Roblox is just one app, just one game out of the thousands that exist out there, the thousands of opportunities that allow our children to be accessed by these bad actors, we need to look at what the reality is and act accordingly. That there needs to be safeguards in place for our children accessing technology. There needs to be awareness over the dangers that exist within our own household, within our living rooms, within our houses, and start to have these conversations on how to better protect our children. But in the meantime, we need to be aware that you can put every safeguard in place, but until you have these conversations with your children and they understand that no matter what happens, they can come to you and that you will deal with it and nothing is worth taking their life over. These are the conversations that need to be had. And I really appreciate, I don't know if you remember the DARE program.
Yes.
And what DARE did back in the day was that it broke down a conversation about drugs. And it was a very age-appropriate way to have a discussion about drugs with children, what the signs are, how to contact an adult when you see certain things. And we need to almost break down human trafficking, grooming, sextortion, and these terms into age-appropriate concepts for these children to start looking out for. As far as being able to protect themselves and give them tools and the ability to combat this on their own within their communities and within our country, because it is modern day slavery. It's happening all around us, and the internet and AI has only made it worse. And by ignoring it, we only continue to encourage this problem to exist. The other thing that we need to do as a society is we really need to do some self-reflection and look inwards, because the United States is one of the highest buyers of sex trafficking and child trafficking. Why is that? Why are we the highest buyer of this air quote commodity? Why are we the highest buyer of children for sex, of children for labor? And we have a heart problem. We have a morality problem. So we need to start looking into these issues, protecting our children, but start solving for why there is such that demand here in this country. And that is how we can start moving the needle on protecting our children.
Oh, my goodness. Allie Hooper, I can talk. Am I pronouncing your name right? Hopper?
Hopper.
Hopper. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Hopper. Allie. Allie, I can talk to you all day. Oh, my goodness. You are amazing. Thank you. I know people tell you this. Allie, thank you for crying for these children. And for putting out good information and for being bold. I know what bold looks like, and I know that it comes at a price. People don't always lay down the red carpet. So, Allie, thank you so much for being you and for deciding to step into this void.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for having me, and Dawn and Dan for spearheading this conversation. Again, it's so important, but I do want to remind your listeners, if they don't know, I did not study to go into counter human trafficking. I did not get a degree in this. I, before I stepped into this world, I was just a mom. I was just a paralegal. I was just a someone with a heart to protect children.
Yes.
And one action led to another, and it was a ripple effect of being able to make a difference, starting with enacting, introducing, and getting passed an anti-grooming bill in Florida. Iowa, Arizona, Montana has one now, Georgia. And from there, that ripple effect just led to being able to speak on a larger scale about protecting children. But I want to remind your listeners that anyone can do anything in this fight to combat trafficking, to fight the crimes and the war on our children. And all it takes is you to tap into your skills, your God-given talents, and find a way to apply those talents and skills in this fight, because it's going to take all of us.
Yes.
And we need to decide how we're going to stand in this moment. So I just wanted to thank you guys.
Wow. Allie, thank you so much. How can people find you?
So our website is guardagainsttrafficking.org. We are a nonprofit. My business partner and I co-founded the organization. We have a lot of good resources on there, educating people about the different types of human trafficking, about sextortion. And we speak across the country to lawmakers, law enforcement, and communities at large. So I would encourage people to go to the website and to follow us on social media.
Absolutely. Wow. I'm so glad you and I met today. Thank you so very much for your time. I appreciate you, Allie.
I appreciate you guys, too. Thank you so much.
Yes. Blessings. Oh, my goodness, guys. Her story is my story. Wow. Her story is so many of our stories, right? I mean, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling my kids, trying to live my best, the best version of my life. And I look around and I say, my God, what is going on? We need better people representing us. People who are not, one, stupid, two, not morally compromised, who know the difference at that time between a man and a woman. Talk about grooming. All of this is grooming. I see y'all on the other side. Call me 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.